WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In his days on Saturday Night Live, Bill Murray perfected being obnoxious and insincere. One writer described Murray as the symbol of everything slothful and unhealthy. After seeing Murray's perfect portrayal of a cheesy lounge singer doing cheery middle-of-the-road medleys of Rolling Stones hits, it was hard to imagine how that kind of lounge singer could face an audience again. Murray got his start with Chicago's Second City. From Saturday Night Live, he started making movies. In his current film, the comedy What About Bob, he plays another obnoxious character. Bob is an erotic guy overcome by his phobias. He finds a new psychiatrist, played by Richard Dreyfuss, but it's August, and the doctor is leaving town to vacation with his family. Bob feels he can't face his phobias alone, so he tracks down the family, and when he finds them, he just won't go away and leave them alone. Bob is truly unbearable. I asked Bill Murray the trick to making a character like that lovable at the same time.
I have that problem in my life. That's generally the problem of getting away with whatever I'm doing. So I have practice in this area. I'm rehearsed and trained in this area. But you're right, this was a kind of hard job in that it did get annoying. I mean, and the part was maybe a little overwritten in the annoying area. So I had to change some things, make things less annoying always, and to eliminate some things.
What did you change?
Well, I changed a lot of things. I mean, that's my job, is to take what writers write and change it. I'm just saying that for any potential writers out there to avoid me in the future.
But you might be warned, yeah.
It's what, you know, it's sort of, the writing is just is often general because the physical reality is always different than what a writer can imagine, or it's often different than what a writer imagines. So something that seems sort of just the right amount of annoying on the printed page, depending upon how the previous scenes have been shot or demonstrated, you know, certain areas get washed out, you know. They get cleaned out, you know, and if you milk a certain kind of annoyance that is too close to the way the next scene is written annoyance-wise, you have to change it. So you're constantly trying to make it less annoying so it'll be palatable, because you can always turn up the annoyance level. And you want to save it. You want to pick your shot for when the other person is, his performance needs more annoyance. So,
are directors or screenwriters ever offended when you want to change the lines or improvise on the lines?
Well, not any of the ones that I've worked with yet. Generally, if you want to change the line and improve the line, they like it. I know that, like, some writers I worked with, I changed a lot of lines, and now they get paid a fortune to write scripts. So they're really happy with the changes that I've made, and it makes them look good if it's good. It's when you change it completely in the essence of what the idea of what they wanted is changed that I think they get upset. But movies are a collaborative business, and I don't think there are only a handful of people that are expert at writing movies, and I don't consider myself one either, but having to play the stuff, I know that it always has to change and adjust because it's two languages. It's words and pictures.
Now, you've really made it in the entertainment industry, but you've also really perfected that kind of showbiz phony sincerity, which is kind of epitomized by the lounge singer that you used to do. I'd really love to hear when that kind of showbizy stuff started to really make an impression on you.
Well, when I really got deep into it, I mean, I think it probably was the Jerry Lewis telethon business that started. You start watching that telethon. I mean, it's not as great now as it was in the old days when Jerry was on, like, various maintenance programs, and he would have mood swings in the course of the show. It's, we used to have a club called the Sammy Club in New York, this friend of ours, Bob Tischler, and we would, several of us would go to his house to watch the Sammy and Company show. That's, like, the clearest example.
What would you do when you watched it?
Well, first of all, he had a poster of Sammy that he would unroll and put on the wall. And then we'd just go crazy watching it, absolutely crazy. And sometimes if someone weren't with us, the phone would ring during the commercial, and it would be someone who was, you know, sort of an honorary member of the club who wasn't there, who was, you know, out of town or something. And it would just be hysterical laughter of what had just happened during the last sequence. And then, of course, you'd hang up for the commercial. And the same thing would happen watching the Jerry Lewis telethon. I mean, you could actually, 5:30 in the morning, you could call someone, you know, and he'd pick up the phone and say, I saw it. You know, because there were people who were monitoring the entire telethon, watching the stuff that Jerry was doing in the middle of the night.
Bill Murray is my guest, and he's starring in a new movie called What About Bob? Now, in the movie Tootsie, you, I think you improvised a lot of this role, but you played a very self-involved, kind of experimental playwright. Did you know a lot of people like that in theater?
Self-involved?
Yeah, what could I possibly be thinking of?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I always, guys whose art was so precious that it couldn't be explained to people, you know, really, and asking a question was like, oh, man, if you don't get it, you know, that kind of thing. It was always, I always enjoyed that, you know. I enjoyed meeting like people like that because it gave me an opportunity to unleash, you know, the darker side of my own wit upon them, you know. And you just wait, and you could sit with them for an hour and a half, and then finally there'd be that opening, and then you could just put a dagger right through their gut, you know. Because anyone that, you know, that attitude was just, it just invited trouble. But some of the things I said is that self-involved guy, I really do believe, you know. So it wasn't just totally, I was just being a drunk and obnoxious guy, but some of the things were really true, just like these guys that I would meet, you know, had some things to say.
Well, what's something that you said in Tootsie that you really believed in, but was also kind of funny and ironic at the same time?
I wanted to have a theater that was only open when it rained.
You genuinely did?
Yeah. Well, I said that in the movie. Oh. I said I wanted to have a theater that's only open when it rains. And I believe that from my own experience in the theater, that the best audience you could ever have even was not a full house, but a house that was three quarters full because of a very bad, or half full because of a very bad storm, which had kept people away, and they hadn't bothered to come, and they would come in still shaking the water off their shoulders and their heads and their hats, and they'd still be wet. Their hair would be wet on the back of their neck. Because it grounded them in a reality. It made them it put them on the planet. They weren't dreaming, they were really on the planet. So they were ready. The ideal specimens. They lived here, you know.
You actually started performing when you were in high school, right?
Well, everybody did, didn't they? I mean, no. I performed in high school just to get out of class. You know, that was the thing. You auditioned for a show, and you would get certain hours off in the afternoon and not have to do homework and, you know, be excused from certain things. Actually, at my school, it was a boys' school. There were girls in these shows, so you could get out. And you even got to rehearse at night, which was really insane.
So musicals? What did you get to be in?
Well, that was the Music Man was the big one, because it was great because we had to rehearse for months to learn all these dance numbers and vocal numbers, and to work with girl dancers from Sacred Heart, you know, the high school girls. And these were like rich girls from downtown who drank, you know, like gin out of 7-Up bottles and stuff. So that was the best job I ever had, I think.
Well, I'm trying to imagine you were a dancer in the Music Man?
Yes, I was a dancer.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine you dancing in the chorus of a high school musical.
They wanted somebody who was big enough to lift up this one girl dancer, and they couldn't. The other people that auditioned, I walked by, and the auditions were going on, and there were a couple of very pretty girls in there, so I just walked in there, and they said, you know, and I literally just did it just to see what was going on, and I was like the biggest guy by about 5 inches, so they said, you're going to pick up the big girl, you know, and she was big. You know, I had to pick her up on my shoulder. She was large. It was just typecasting. It could have been Lou Ferrigno got the job. You know, he would have, yeah. Lou Ferrigno, you're a dancer? Yes, I am, you know, at once. I mean, it was really all about getting somebody up on your shoulders. But I don't regret it. Yes, I was a dancer, Terry, yes. And I still go out and dance every once in a while, although I don't do it on the Broadway stage.
Actor Bill Murray, you can see him in What About Bob? This is Fresh Air.